Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ewan Parson.
Hello.
And Rich Hudson.
Hello.
Now, we're going to try a news pod. A whole bunch of different things have happened across the week, and not all of them we got around to covering. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll run down things that we have covered, so you can go out and check the separate videos out, and there should be audio on this channel as well, if you're listening on the audio platforms, for some of this stuff too. As a quick little roundup, we talked about the leaked PS5 design, the Microsoft Kinect listening to all of us for the last 6 years, very sort of slightly illegally, but, you know, good fun. Modern Warfare's Alpha, some impressions for Control, The Last of Us 2, getting some gameplay details and a sort of redefined or slightly remixed version of the clickers, and Telltale coming back, but with the weird sort of caveat that they're Telltale in name only,
yes.
And a lot of the key staff have been brought back as freelancers,
yes.
Which is the biggest
just
FU you could have done.
This happens all the time. It happened with Atari in the early 2000s mm-hmm. as well.
So it's like some of the IPs got saved. Like they haven't managed to secure The Walking Dead yet, but A Wolf Among Us seems
to be getting
more. I thought
Walking Dead was done anyway.
Walking Dead was done, but they have Skybound Entertainment has that at the moment. Mm-hmm. So
they're wrapping the current story.
I thought they just did it to finish off final season and then they were done with it.
I think, it might be that. But I guess you could potentially have expected more Walking Dead something. And so they'll maybe see about that. But you can go check out some different videos and things and bits and pieces about that. But the thing I'm going to open up with, a brand new thing. Although, actually, no. Let's talk about the PS5 for a little bit. Because that's a weird console.
Baby.
Ewan hadn't seen it until a few minutes ago. What do you think?
It looks like you meant to strap it into a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And then use it to Fast and Furious Nitro boost yourself to the point where your jowls start flying backwards
in the
wind.
Hey, if that's the advert for it, I will
I said on the news with Josh that it looks like either a trip mine from GoldenEye or like a wall panel that you like scan your card to get through like a cyber security.
You put your face in.
You put your face in.
Anything that looks kind of cyberpunk. I mean, this is the thing. The distinction to be made is that this is the dev kit. It has been confirmed that this is the dev kit that different teams are working with right now. Not the retail version yet. Although obviously the visual of it's out there. So who knows if it takes off enough?
Completely pointless for it
maybe
to be a dev
it.
Kit design, but. Okay,
I know.
Sorry,
like,
what the hey?
They put so much effort into it. There's all these weird fans on it and lights and everything. And
to be fair, if it's any, if it's just a little bit less noisy than my PlayStation 4, it's a day one purchase.
Well, that was what I said about it with all the design being very like meshy. It's like air cooling, good. Do it, consoles. You're really bad at air cooling.
It's
a really big caveat of console design is they always make them badly cooled. Mm-hmm. Look at the 360.
Oh god, I think they're focusing on
three Xbox 360s.
Exactly.
It seems to be it's the one kind of Achilles heel for all console stuff is that they nearly always melt themselves a bit. onto the newer sort of stuff, sort of slightly less known stories that are still worth talking about. Now you guys aren't Yakuza fans, but this gender a rupture.
I did see the discourse and how it just looks completely not like any Yakuza thing. I did see the bread physics.
The bread physics.
Oh mate, there's where he bites into the bread and it like falls apart, like he tears it off, it like comes out in the individual bit. It's like it's
some good
like
crummage.
Forget AI fish.
Yeah.
We've got bread physics.
Yeah, this
now.
Is the next generation of crumb
Did
physics.
They hire the folks from I Am Bread to help to consult
Sadly not.
On
well,
Yakuza?
What a trick they missed.
Exactly,
they could have had the
yeah.
floppiest bread and they didn't. So the actual news thing is that Yakuza 7 got confirmed. New character, Ichiban Kasuga, who's the first new main character. It's because Kazama Kiryu's story is done, so whatever. But the big deal is that it's no longer a action arcadey beat 'em up Streets of Rage in 3D style, and it's a turn-based game like Dragon Quest or like Persona or whatever, and that's a whole big deal. Now for me, I'm totally fine with that because I love those games, and I like the idea that the creative director got out there and said, look, we're going to try something new. You know, we're seven main installments in, we want to try something completely different. And they also said, if it doesn't work, we'll go back to the action stuff. They're just trying a bit of turn-based stuff.
I mean, fair enough.
What do you guys think in terms of like the look of it and stuff? Because I think you've seen bits and pieces of it.
Visually, it looks very impressive. I don't know. I saw people saying that it's almost meta in a way, that it's about more JRPG in the sense that like you have all these crazy visuals that are going along with it. So I guess if I was dedicated to Yakuza and I was really attached, I'd probably
be like,
I'd be like, what's going on here? Like, especially because I hate turn-based stuff. That's right. Just me. I find it really boring.
I'm exactly the
tedious.
Same. Yeah, turn-based switches me off straight. Yeah.
Oh, guys, yeah. Turn-based. Sorry, fun.
I'm not gonna crap on your fun, Scott Telford. You can have a good time.
To be fair, they did release an April Fool's trailer, like, you know, obviously back in April, with this main character and this new guy Ichiban, who's was doing turn-based stuff in the April Fool's thing, and everyone was like, oh god, can you imagine if they ever did Fool's ever did a turn-based Yakuza? And then that was actual footage of the real Yakuza 7, which is now confirmed. Which is another sort of thing as to why the fandom were like, are you kidding?
It's an easy way to plant it into the fans' consciousness without too much of a potential backlash because it's April Fools. I mean, fair enough. It's a clever way to do it. But
the thing is as well, in the Yakuza games, there are tons of mini games. Like, you know, you have the main combat, but you also have a whole bunch of stuff on the side. Part of me thinks that the turn-based stuff is kind of like a gag, like that's only a small portion of the game. Or maybe that is the main game, but you'll still get to do full-on combat stuff alongside. I think they'll be ticking both boxes.
Switch between the two.
Yes. And the last thing for that is that the title is apparently Like a Dragon in the West. Yakuza 7, Like a Dragon in the West. Does that get you
it's
in?
So Japanese.
Yes.
Love it.
After Yakuza 6 was called Song of Life. So, you know, bring on the madness. I'm a fan.
Yeah, it's a good title. I don't know why my mind instantly went to Eddie Murphy as a dragon from Mulan.
Considering they have a Michael Jackson ripoff called Miracle Johnson, they should definitely get him in.
Miracle Johnson somehow sounds even more problematic.
On the problematic scale. Yeah. Next thing down is Resident Evil. Now, this was something that I forgot who was I in the room when I covered this with the other day. I already did a video on the idea of Project Resistance being the next Resident Evil game, but there's some new things that have came out about it. Now, have you guys heard... It was Jules. Have you guys heard of Resident Evil Outbreak from 2003?
No, I haven't.
Ish.
Good. Ish is enough. Ish.
We're equipped.
Good. So back then, they did a multiplayer online Resident Evil called Resident Evil Outbreak, and you had to buy a separate modem to put into your PS2 to play with a whole bunch of friends and, you know, do Resident Evil.
A modem?
Online. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Now we're going on.
You guys alive back then?
Yeah, I was alive.
That was a long time ago.
I know about the PlayStation modem.
So they had a whole thing. Yeah, it was like Metal Gear Substance had it in, like, Resident Evil Outbreak. And it was the online sort of multiplayer Resident Evil, and it was all right.
I was going to say, was it any good? Because when they did all the other multiplayer stuff, it's always been really badly received.
Well, that's the thing, right? And so, like, Umbrella Corps is, like, regarded is terrible, and like, you know, they've tried a couple of other different online versions that have never done especially well. Yeah. But Outbreak kind of has the fan vote. So Capcom tweeted out this new thing called Project Resistance with the RE in capital in red lettering. So it's like, okay, something Resident Evil's coming. So they're going to announce it at the Tokyo Game Show. But there are a few bits and bobs that sort of kind of confirm that it's going to be, or hint towards it's going to be another Resident Evil Outbreak game. But since then, people have gone into the YouTube teaser link that they've put up because it's one of those like scheduled planning for the next few days kind of links, and pulled a whole bunch of screenshots off it. Nyon confirmed.
That's amazing how they've managed that.
I don't know how you do it.
I don't know how on earth you do
data
that.
Mine the potential thumbnail that's going to go up in a few days or something. But yeah, so they've pulled some screenshots from that which confirm that it's a group-based Resident Evil, which I guess is just a general sort of talking point because you guys played... Well, I know you, Richie,
played Resident Evil 2. Remake,
and so, like, what do you get of the idea of that?
I really like it. I've been waiting for a Left 4 Dead style thing.
That's what I think they're doing.
For ages.
Play Vermintide, Ewan.
No.
PCs, right?
Yeah.
It's on consoles as well.
Is it?
I don't want to fight some rats, mate. I don't want to do it. But I've been craving a Left 4 Dead experience for ages, and Resident Evil, to me, even though you associate it more so with, like, well, not in recent years, but you do associate it more so with the idea of, like, slow, kind of isolated horror. I do like the idea of just going all out and be like, hey, here you are, the lads, the zombies. Let them fight.
To
like,
be
that's
fair
what
as well,
I want.
Like Resident Evil 2's, I forget what you call the engine. I mean,
it was the RE engine.
Yeah. Resident Evil 2 looks absolutely gorgeous and plays like so well. Like the general heft of the characters and the momentum and everything, and the feel of the weapons is great. I think any excuse to just give you more combat scenarios with that stuff is brilliant. So I don't know if
the one thing I kind of wished I had with the Resident 2 remake was to jump in and somebody else can play as Claire or whatever. Just jump in two people and do that. Like, it'd be really fun like to see it in like a multiplayer standpoint. But even with like, even if they did like a semi half-baked campaign mode as well, we could just play through something co-op like a half done Resi 5 or 6.
Yeah.
like doing that would be really cool as well, especially if it plays exactly the same as Resi 2.
Well, that's what I'm assuming.
Now they've hit that mark, they're not going to change from that.
Yeah, I think they stick. And plus, if Resident Evil 8 is going to be first person, it kind of makes sense to diversify the other direction. Try another another online game.
They can tick both boxes, it'll keep everyone happy.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And like Outbreak, like I said, kind of has the fan vote. Like a lot of people who did invest in the new technology, the hardware back in the day, like managed to get their consoles online. And like, you know, that idea of playing like a Resident Evil as a group of people, you maintain the atmosphere of it. Like, it was really cool. Like, so I like the idea of that. Next thing down is, this is like a weird thing, but I wanted to kind of an excuse to talk about Remnant from the Ashes, which has just come out of nowhere and everybody's playing it. But the general sort of news thing that I want to point out is, if you look at THQ Nordic, obviously they've been rebuilding themselves for the last few years. THQ folded and they managed to sort of kind of come back as THQ Nordic. And there's a whole list of different acquisitions, different studios and IPs that they've been buying up. But for me, I think they're very carefully playing their cards. They're back in the public consciousness, but in this really kind of clever way. And so there's like a two-pronged attack that I want to kind of highlight. First up is Remnant from the Ashes, which you've been playing a lot of, Rich.
As you said, it came out of absolutely nowhere. Yeah. And suddenly everyone is playing it. To put it really, really simply, it's Dark Souls with guns.
Okay.
And it's got that difficulty. It's got that same checkpointing system. It's got the very heavy emphasis on your items and upgrading stuff and finding bits and bobs, and obviously some really flamboyant boss fights. Mm. But as someone who's kind of half clicked with Souls before, never really gotten massively into it, this came out of nowhere, and I've just been obsessed with it.
Because the thing that I think is really cool is that it's made by Gunfire Games, who did Darksiders 3.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, I like Darksiders 3. I love the franchise.
Coming out for free on the PlayStation.
That's the thing.
Plus
so,
thing next month.
I think that, like, that's another thing where I'm like, you're playing your cards so well, because Darksiders 3 is now the new PS Plus game for September.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are obviously going to check that out and then kind of associate Gunfire, maybe, or look into their other work, realize they're also Remnant. And although Remnant is published by someone else.
I literally said it about.
There's a team, not called
Perfect World Entertainment.
Yes, and they're owned by THQ. So yep. It's kind of the thing where they've sort of, THQ are managing to get back in and be a major player again, but in this sort of very intelligent way where they're playing to a lot of their strengths in terms of fan favorite franchises like Darksiders.
Yep.
And another game is Wreckfest, which just got released, like stealth released on the PlayStation Store, although it's been out on PC.
I think Wreckfest was originally, I think it was called the Next Car Game, like,
right,
years ago, and it was like showing off like horrendously realistic physics in terms of like crashing into things and your car being bent and like your axles being broken and stuff and how that played out. And I just got it on a whim like a year ago. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, it might have been just over a year ago. And it's been out on PC for a while, and it is like Destruction Derby, like super duper realistic. And it's an absolute blast. It's a game that takes itself really, really seriously in terms of how it plays, but in reality, yes, you're just driving about in a double decker.
it's like a car
Beetle
on top of a car. Yeah.
Yeah. Destruction, like and a Death stuff. Race game or something.
Yeah, it is like a realistic Destruction Derby game with races and just boxed down a Destruction Derby. And it's fantastic. And it's coming to PlayStation 4. Is it coming to Xbox as well?
I don't know if it's coming to Xbox. It's out on PlayStation now.
Yeah, about like today or something?
Yeah, I caught it on the store last night. But it's just like, yeah, you can like race couches and do all these big...
The first level of the main sort of single player story mode is a lawnmower free-for-all.
Brilliant, good.
It's fantastic.
Get
it's
every
so
game to start with that.
Seen Sinister, that might have other connotations.
But I think in terms of the sort of franchises that they're tapping back into, those sort of nostalgic plays that they're sort of doing, Wreckfest is very much Destruction Derby, very much Flat Out.
Yeah.
Flat Out's still going, but you know, arcade racing kind of has been on the back foot for so long. Like, we've had so many simulation-based races. Like, Forza Horizon's kind of the only franchise.
Horizon is amazing.
Yeah.
It's kind of tapping into the middle ground between horrendously realistic and arcade. Mm. And if the pendulum's swinging back that way, that's going to be a lot of people happy.
And I think,
I say that Onrush by Codemasters came out the other year.
It's a solid enough game, but it didn't sell very well.
It's a shame. I've not really come across anything that I love Codemasters. They had Grid, which was amazing. They had Dirt 2 as well, which I thought was kind of like the pinnacle of that
solid
series.
Toy Box Turbo.
But like,
no.
But like, we need more Codemaster stuff. Give me that.
Yeah,
like,
they're still going, but obviously it's like every other game they're kind of hit and miss. I think it's because they're mainly focusing on the F1 games every year.
Mm.
So their other stuff seems to get put on the back foot, which is a shame, because you know they've done some really good titles in the past.
But it's like, that's the thing. Like, we all kind of have these little, like, you know, touchstones, little points that we can go to and go like, okay, I played that when I was a kid. I loved it. I played it when I was a teenager or whatever. And for me, I think that's what THQ's getting back into, when the industry overall is so obsessed with profit margins and inflation and growth and everything and all these massive over the top, you you know, 120 hour long games that we're never going to finish. I like that there's a studio out there that is almost like double A kind of thing in between the indies and the triple A, just going, here's the franchises
sort of
you remember.
On the same shelf as like Devolver, to be
honest,
because they're also publishing the SpongeBob remaster and the Destroy of Humans remaster as well. So again, it's just like, I never played the Battle of Bikini Bottom, but it's like the fact that it's got this huge fan base, like this game was great and they can remaster
honestly,
it and everyone loses
Destroy All Humans coming back. I didn't even realize it. I just got an advert for it on YouTube one day. I was like,
I know. It's just like something like Destroy All Humans, like they have those little fan bases that like people don't realize how much of an affiliation or attachment they have to them until they're reminded of it again.
This is how we get Simpsons Hit and Run back.
I was literally
back.
About to say to get Simpsons Hit and Run remastered.
Maybe it's building to that. Do a better Simpsons
honestly, if there was that studio that remastered all these games, you'd think, I will never see a remaster of this. And they just tell me, go, okay, here
that's
it is.
That's the thing. It's like,
they would make a killing.
I would never in a million years thought we would be getting a Ghostbusters remaster this year, for instance. And already that's incredible because like the game came out and I traded it in like an idiot after I completed it. And it was one of my favorite games of that year. But yeah, if we can get, I know people kind of decry and bemoan remasters a lot of the time, but like if it's for stuff that you genuinely don't expect to come back and you potentially missed the first time around, or you know, it had like a cult following, what's the harm?
They're just the cult publisher. I love that idea.
That's a great in for them as well. Yeah. Like considering that, like I said, the two disparate halves of the industry. I think the whole thing with remakes is that like there was so many games that back at the beginning of the generation weren't getting that many new things, but there was loads of
remasters. The Assassin's Creed remasters.
It was kind of like the era of the iPad releasing and every app had a HD version on the App Store. It was just like a basic port. But now since we had like the Resi 2 remake and stuff like that, obviously the approach to remasters, I think we did a podcast on this ages ago.
We did.
The way that they've actually taken them very, very seriously. And if THQ, if that's going to be one huge pillar of THQ, then that's great.
Yeah, totally.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
To round out the THQ thing as well, it's just worth mentioning some of the acquisitions that they've had. These were back in 2018. They got the Time Splitters IP, the Alone in the Dark IP, Carmageddon, and Kingdoms of Amalur. So like each one of them like will have its respective little fan bases that pop internally.
Again, it's
definitely
cool.
All for me.
Yeah. Cool.
I was going to say which one of them resonates with you guys. For me, it's Time Splitters.
It's Time Splitters. Just such a huge thing to finally bring back. All the stuff we've done in the past, like, is Time Splitters coming? And then this is the first time it's been.
Just do it. Yes. Put an HD collection on Switch.
I mean, Amulur was done real dirty by being completely it came out the same year Skyrim did, didn't it?
Oh yeah.
Which probably didn't help its chance. That game deserves a second chance.
Oh god, yeah. Like Kingdoms of Amulur Reckoning. If you want a really, really overlooked RPG, is brilliant. Some of the best combat in an RPG.
But yeah, go play Remnant.
Yes. Remnant as well.
Go play it. Go play it. Seriously.
Yes.
Something. I'll finish the podcast myself. You guys go play Remnant.
Okay. Something like Remnant we might eventually get back to because I think that is doing something like. Said people still refer to it as Dark Souls with guns. It seems to be
biggest surprise of the year.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, we might do biggest surprises of the year.
Apart.
As we're talking about surprises, some of our studio fell apart. We're gonna keep going, but we should do biggest surprises of the year so
absolutely.
Far. That sounds good. Next thing down is Battlefront 2. The developer Dennis Branvold. Voldemort.
Yeah.
Voldemort.
You're going full J. Jonah.
I was trying to do the old pronunciation, but I couldn't get it right. But yeah, he's been addressing the fact that obviously he had a very rough launch and the sort of general reputation around Battlefront 2 has been a bit up and down. And so I did this nice little interview where they said that, look, we acknowledge that we hit rock bottom in terms of player sentiment, but now it's climbing every month. And they've been announcing a whole bunch of new DLC and different moves that they've been doing, different game modes and things like that. Ewan's popping to talk about this. Go on.
Battlefront 2 is like from the ashes it has risen, like Rainbow Six Siege in a way. And yeah, it's another Siege-esque success story for DICE in this regard, because fair play to them, they completely supported this game when basically they could have just let it out to dry. And the thing is as well, they've done that by listening to the community first and foremost and really tapping into a niche of the Star Wars fandom. So most of the content that they've been producing for the past year or so has been predicated around the Clone War era. And that was the thing that people really wanted to see with the sequel, because obviously it was left out in the first game or the first reboot, and it's one of the things that people most fondly remember from the original Battlefront games. And so they've actually made a concerted effort to add in new skins, new stuff. They've brought back all the voice actors from the Clone Wars cartoon. There is such a genuine level of dedication and detail to what they're doing right now, and some of it's coming a little bit slowly, but yeah, it's in such a healthy position right now. And they announced, you know, last D23 that they basically got a Republic Commando thing coming out. And the best thing about this Republic Commando thing is that not only is it the exact same design from the 2005 game, they also have like the effectively the same moves as they did. They added in a new one, but you know when in that game you had the DC-17 blaster and you could put different attachments on it? One of the abilities is the grenade launcher attachment that you could put on it, and then also their melee animation is the unique knife animation that they had in that game.
Wrist knives. Give me them all.
And like, they have that coming, they've got new heroes coming, new skins coming, they've got loads of Rise of Skywalker stuff planned for later in the year as well, and new maps and everything. So it's one of those things where I keep on coming back to Battlefront and I'm like, I have a reason to play this, and it makes me very happy, because when the game first came out, I personally was enjoying it. I think that, you know, there's never been a problem with the way Battlefront plays, and the fact that everything now you can just buy the game, you don't have to worry about buying anything else. It's literally just you progress, you do this. There's a slight disparity in the terms of the balance, the way the people who have been on the game longer have better star cards than you when you're starting off, but bar that, it is a very enjoyable cinematic experience.
It feels like they finally got to a point where, because like obviously EA had this whole thing about making platforms of content and plugging things into it and whatever, and even though this thing is called Battlefront 2 or whatever, it still feels like that they finally achieved that sort of monolithic, here's this massive like Star Wars everything and we'll just plug everything into it, and the gameplay is like stellar as well.
Yeah, it's kind of like a tale of two cities with Battlefront and Battlefield, because I've just picked up Battlefield 5 now because it was like way marked down, it's like £20 or something, so I thought, you know what, I'm in the mood to shoot some Nazis, give me some Battlefield goodness, I'll do that. I want to make Nick Fury in the online mode, that howling commando representation. And I've not gone into it yet, but you know, every time I hear something good about Battlefront getting new updates, and then I hop in and I'm playing it and having a great time, I hear Battlefield 5 having stuff where it's like they've just cancelled a new multiplayer mode, and they've just cancelled doing this, and it's like,
did that Fireteam thing ever come out? Not anyone that played the Battle Royale.
Yeah, it did. Okay. But it was like a 5v5 squad based mode that they had planned to come out, and they've just completely scuppered it. And you know, you're looking at that and why is one thing working and one thing isn't? And
I think
one
of them launched like pretty squeaky clean.
Yes.
Because obviously they had the errors of the Battlefront 2 to look at and go, okay, let's not do that. And yet Battlefront 2 is still rising above.
I wonder if it is a question of niche, because like if you think of the diehard hardcore Battlefield fans, which I would consider myself to be among for a long time, we were all asking for a Bad Company sequel, because Bad Company 2 was like, I feel as though that's where the franchise peaked on the last couple of generations, and that was amazing. But they haven't gone back to that yet, and I feel as though if maybe now is the time if they go back and make another Bad Company game with that kind of same gameplay style, and you know, that requires a lot of years of backpedaling and what they've done recently, but I definitely think if you tap into that niche, as has been shown by Star Wars, you can get results.
Yeah. It's interesting because it sounds almost like DICE are going the same way Infinity Ward are, or have gone. Obviously, they have to go backtracking, because you know, Battlefield 5 was just Battlefield 1, 2, almost. Like, I played Battlefield 1, and it was really, really good.
Yes, the operations mode was so good.
Yeah, it was the first Battlefield I properly played, and I really enjoyed it, because back when, like, Battlefield 3 came out, I was a Black Ops kid. I'm not touching Battlefield.
I was a Black Ops kid.
I'm a Black Ops kid.
That's like me saying that I was a Beyblade kid and everyone else was playing
Battlefield.
Oh,
the game
with the Beyblade. But, like, yeah, if the current stuff that the side of DICE doing Battlefield are doing, and it's not working, obviously, backtracking back to Bad Company 3s in the same way that they've obviously backtracked a Modern Warfare reboot coming out later this year. I find it interesting. Is it literally just the same studio, or are there two halves of
dice? There are definitely two halves.
They're quite big.
They're very, very big. There's a dice based in, there's dice based in America, and there's dice based in Sweden.
I think
the Sweden dice do, I don't know how it's like, it's actually demarcated, so I don't want to say which studio is doing what, mm-hmm. but there is definitely a delineation with a lot of EA studios where they have different teams dedicated to different stuff, like for instance, Jedi Fallen Order, that's being done by Respawn, but not the Respawn that did Titanfall. It's a different part of the studio.
I think in terms of dice as well, like if you read Kotaku's deep dive into the realities of making Mass Effect Andromeda, there was this really, like, you know, dice are extremely protective of their Frostbite engine and how that gets used, and that sort of led to problems for Mass Effect.
Yeah.
But when they use it, it can turn out extremely well.
Absolutely. Like, it feels like that's the most frustrating thing is Frostbite is a genius engine, but it's also an absolute bitch to work with, like, for a lot of people.
It's amazing that they've got FIFA running on Frostbite. It's a first-person shooter engine.
It's a ridiculous thing, and, you know, Battlefront does have its own issues with Frostbite. You'll notice that all the vehicles in that game clip around like hell. And like there's loads of not rubber banding, but the vehicles as they're moving, they're meant to hover. But even when like they show tech demo gameplay of upcoming vehicles they're looking to add into the game, you can see them rubber banding along the floor and like skipping back and stuff. And it's like, maybe even though Frostbite does afford you so much detail, maybe they do have to part ways with it in some way.
I guess in terms of like just general sort of visuals and like that idea of just, you want to just like plug into Star Wars, like the thing that they dropped the ball with obviously was all the gambling stuff and everything, but like you said, the gameplay has always been so solid. Like I always loved the, I forget the name of the aerial mode where you can just
Starfighter Assault.
Absolutely loved that. I spent so long just playing as Kylo's ship and blast everything apart. So I think if they have a way to sort of go, okay, Star Wars hype's building for the new movie, here's the game you want to just go back to, and hey, by the way, it's been supported and you've missed out on like
Could you imagine a fully realized VR Star Wars Assault multiplayer?
Oh my god!
They did an X-Wing thing, didn't they?
Yes. And as a man who never cared about VR, I finally got a VR, and the X-Wing thing that they put in the first Battlefront, give me a whole game in VR.
Yeah.
No one's played it apart from me and Josh, but it's perfect. It's so good.
Let me it, mate.
No Man's Sky in VR yet?
Yeah. It's so good. There's not enough news this week for No Man's Sky, but I can do a No Man's Sky podcast. I'll drag you guys in to do a No Man's Sky podcast.
You can sit and talk to yourself.
I'll just talk to the camera. It's really good.
Just get finger puppet versions of me and Rich. Be like, Battlefront.
Coffee stain. Shut up. We're going to talk about No Man's Sky. Oh, God. But the way that they did the X-Wing VR stuff where you can, you know, you're looking around, you can peek out the cockpit and everything else. That's a level of Battlefront that I would love them to go more down in a future installment, even though at the minute it seems like they're more than satisfied with what Battlefront 2 is. And one final thing just to sort of end on is the disastrous state of Xbox One exclusives. Because we finally have Gears of War 5 coming out on September 10th. You can play it early if you have Game Pass Ultimate. But I just wanted to end on the general conversation of the Xbox One, because I keep forgetting that platform's even doing anything.
The frustrating thing is, I come from a unique position here, because I was an Xbox kid up until PlayStation 4. I had an Xbox, and I had an Xbox 360, and then PlayStation 4 was my first PlayStation console. And that mainly it was down to the fact that we had all these exclusive games, and you know, you see Microsoft have kind of hit the panic button over their lack of exclusives, buying all these different these studios to make first party games and stuff. And my big fear with all of this, with this escalating war of console exclusives, is that we're going to have effectively two monopolies again, where it's going to be like you either have all these exclusive games or you have these exclusive games. And I don't particularly want that. I would like these different studios, even though they potentially get better funding by being first party. I do like the idea of having them having more autonomy and there being some sort of cross. Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing about that is Microsoft are opening doors more so, hence why we've had like Cuphead come to the Switch. We've got Ori coming to the Switch, and they've been very pally with Nintendo. Obviously, there is the inroads between Sony and Microsoft to do with streaming games, obviously, because PlayStation have jumped in on the xCloud stuff to take on Stadia. I sort of still hypothesize that these walls are breaking. And I get that, obviously, Microsoft buying all these studios is obviously leading into not this gen, but next gen having a lot of those first-party titles. Because, I mean, the first sort of, after the year, it was last year they bought all these companies. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the first game we saw that was like, here's a new company we've just bought that's exclusive to our thing was the Ninja Theory game.
Yeah, actually, I forget the name of, but it's like an online multiplayer arena shooter.
But it's like this, it's like it looks like another Xbox exclusive that's going to just fall flat on its bum.
Like, it is both sides of that thing, though, where like, one minute Phil Spencer's out there talking about we want to share everything, want everything to be playable, but also we're buying a bunch of studios and potentially going down that route.
Maybe that's a case of kind of like what EA did with the originals. Obviously, EA doesn't have their own platform to publish on except for Origin. But like they wanted to make better games, and I feel like that's still what Microsoft are doing. I think Xbox are trying to be as we've hypothesized before, the idea that they're going to become this overarching, like almost not physical brand. They're just across the gaming ecosystem, and they're just going to go from there. And I think that'd be a really welcome thing to do. They'll have their own console, but they'll have some things nailed down to it. Mm. But the fact that, you know, you get Xbox stuff on PC as well, there's stuff eventually going to be coming to Switch over time, which is great. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know whether they're going to suddenly wall off again. And if they do, it would feel really... It feels like they've backtracked on all this, the last sort of 2-3 years they've had as a brand and the doors they've opened over that time.
That's kind of the thing. They've sort of been playing playing a whole bunch of like cards themselves for the next generation. Like obviously the Xbox One in terms of its position in the generation was a bit of a wash. So at some point they had to start planning for the next time. And it feels like they are sort of like making moves to, like you said, become this sort of the place you go to for all games. Like they have all the backwards compatibility stuff. They have Game Pass. Even some things that are third party get put on Game Pass on day one.
Game Pass is great.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, if you don't want to pay full price, we have it right here for £7 or whatever. And it's like they're really intelligent moves to try and get people back on board. Whether or not the hardware lives up to that, I don't know. But yeah, in terms of like exclusives this year, there's been very little. So I'm curious as to whether people have gathered around Gears of War 5, because for me, Gears 5 has had next to no
marketing.
This is
the weird thing as well, because I feel as though there's a degree of nostalgia. I mean, I say a degree, I mean a hefty dose of nostalgia.
Hey, do you want me to tell you about Queen Mirror?
Yeah.
Got some Queen Mirror
theories. And the weird thing is that when I was... an Xbox 360 owner, I always looked at the PlayStation's 3's exclusives with kind of contempt. I was like, I know you like Uncharted, but we have Halo.
Oh,
we have
Gears.
And like Halo and Gears, even though I definitely think Gears 5 is shaping up to be something quite magnificent, it's not what it once was. And neither franchises are. And you know, that's kind of another weird thing where they got the Halo Reach guys coming back for Gears 5 and stuff. And it's like, are they trading with nostalgia purely now? When are we going to get some? I know we've had new Xbox exclusives, but like, these franchises have evolved to the point where they can't really tap into that nostalgia because they're so, especially in Halo's case, where I feel it's so different from what Bungie's work was. Mm-hmm. And how do you get that balance? Because like you want to have those classic exclusives, but also you need the new IPs as well, because you don't have Bungie anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't have the same studios that crafted those successes back on the last gen. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit weird.
They were so strong. And I think part of that is Microsoft's fault for not marketing them in the same way. And obviously not necessarily dealing with the changeover in developers as smoothly as they could have done. Or reassuring fans with, I don't know, different cinematics and things that they could have done to say, look, we're still going to carry the lore forward or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I think Gears of War 5 will be the last sort of major Gears thing for a while. And it seems like it's an important release, at least for Xbox fans for this year. So yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments below if you're watching the video side of things, or come find us on social media if you're following along on the audio platforms. For now though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast, and I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ewan Parsons.
Hello and goodbye. Follow me on Twitter at Ewan Ruins Things, like I'm ruining everything.
Rich Hudson.
Thank you very much for listening and or watching. You can follow me on Twitter at PickUpChangeToe.
And I am at /LP89, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.